Please lower your head and watch your step while boarding.
Welcome to the Attractions Podcast. You are all clear for dispatch. Have fun.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Attractions Podcast, sponsored by MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. I am Seth.
And I'm Carly.
And we are back together again. Yay! Here to talk to you about the latest and greatest in theme park news and more. But first, we have to spend a minute catching up. It has been like a month since we've both been on the podcast together. So just briefly, tell me what I've missed in the wide world of Carly.
Yes, we both were ships passing in the night, spending time at Disneyland. I hit up Disneyland California Adventure Food and Wine Festival. Thought it was like one of the most impressive as far as quality. Operations were so much better, at least on my day to visit, which is always my issue. Had some excellent, excellent bites. And I also hit up Disney Channel Night, the first ever one.
Oh, tell me a little bit about that. I read all about it. What was it like being there?
Yes, I'm definitely too old for the target audience. So that was, it's definitely hyper focused on if you are like, I love High School Musical and zombies. So I will say the mashup for the parade was a highlight for me, but that was a highlight because I love that. It's definitely for a certain audience. Pretty awesome. I'm sure they'll do it again or something like it, but you definitely have to be like the right fandom for it. But I had a nice night out with friends. The characters were okay. You know, it was a lot of stuff that we have seen before. So that was like the one kind of bummer, but the entertainment was really good. From there, I went to Dollywood, where I got to do a sit down interview with Dolly Parton. Yes.
Can I touch you?
Yes. The queen herself.
What an amazing experience. Yes. Can you tease us anything at all from the art? Did you get anything related to Dollywood or related to theme parks that you can give us just a little tidbit?
Absolutely. Yeah. So my story is going to be tied to the upcoming Dolly Parton experience, which is opening in May at Dollywood, which is kind of like, you know, like those Van Gogh interactive museum experiences, like that, but Dolly. So this is going to be fan serving, but also really like a deep dive into her life. And also what I loved a lot is the people behind the scenes that she brings along the way with her that people don't realize, like a bunch of her family works at the park. One of her nieces has her own show at the park. So that's kind of what I love. And the exhibit also highlights those people and, you know, the costume designers, all the things that, you know, make her who she is. So I am really excited about that. And then I went to Italy right after that. So.
And one more thing, you went to Italy.
Just a range.
As one does. So how was that?
It was amazing. This is definitely, if you are thinking of, I don't like going to Europe in the summer because it's too hot and there's no air conditioning in places. So this is like my favorite time to go is in like early March or October, where the weather is like beautiful. It's like a perfect fall day. And it's also pre-tourist. So like Ryan said, food coma, I am definitely in one. The food is just so amazing, but I'm happy to be back, taking a few weeks sabbatical from traveling and then up to my old shenanigans.
Well, welcome home. I hope you get some deserved rest. And
I was jet lagged this weekend. I was in and out of consciousness for 2 days.
I can imagine. I would just crawl into a cave and sleep it off for a week. I did not have nearly as exciting time as you since I came back from California. I have had a family in town, though, visiting the theme parks. So it was a perfect opportunity to test out some of the touring plans from my unofficial guides designed for families with small kids and tweens. I focus a lot of times on the big E tickets and the really thrilling rides. And it's nice to slow down and experience the theme parks through smaller eyes. Kids are going to be interested in what they're interested in. Whatever plan you have will go out the window if they see a stilt walker with Mardi Gras coins to give out. It doesn't matter how long that line is, they will stop and wait to get those Mardi Gras coins.
Absolutely. Or, you know. I mean, I feel for the parents that book a resort with like an amazing pool and then the kids don't want to leave the pool, but they just spent $1,000 on tickets. But it's like, I know we don't have kids, so we can't exactly relate, but I know the struggle because it is very real and that could happen at any moment.
Yeah. I mean, it really reinforced some of the tips that I've had in the books for years, but been a while since I've like lived them first person. Like if you're going during a busy season, especially at Universal, it's worth paying for those hotel rooms that come with the express passes. Especially if you have kids that like might melt down randomly and you need to just go when you need to go. You don't want to be investing hours standing in a queue and then having them nope out. You know, sometimes absolutely the best thing is to just leave the park and go back to the hotel pool. That's a lot of fun.
Right. And I love all the Universal hotels. Love them all. But if you're doing that, I think stay at Royal Pacific, which is usually like the least expensive.
That's exactly where they were. And it
great
was
pool. I mean,
yep.
So good.
Yeah. Royal. Absolutely. I recommend Royal Pacific to families if you can afford it. If you can't, Cabana Bay is probably the next best thing with the Lazy River. But
any pool will do with a child.
Any pool will do. Absolutely. A puddle could do. Yeah.
And you know what? Like, as I approach elder age, just having like a few hours to sit down really does make all the difference. And I feel like I'm the Energizer Bunny. Oh, go.
That's the other thing. Table service reservations just for lunch.
One a day.
You know, a nice long lunch in air conditioning with someone, you know, fetching your food for you instead of you standing in line makes a big difference for sure.
Absolutely. And these are all these nuances that it's so easy to get lost in the confusion and the excitement. I know people will like go booking crazy. It's breakfast, lunch, dinner. It's like, don't do that. Just one and then chill.
But I think the kids had a great time. And speaking of Universal, before we move on, we got to talk something. Universal put out a little tease today on Twitter. There's a short video, basically nothing but a starry background and the date of March 28th, which is coming up real soon. So do you have any theories, rumors, or speculations? Because I know I do.
So, I mean, we know so many details already because they did that huge announcement. Well, I think Disney announced their 2025 vacation packages historically earlier than they usually do. They usually don't announce till June. So my guess is really not that it's not really like really well-to-do knowledge. It's just, I think it will be either like an opening date or an on-sale date for tickets. Oh. I mean, I don't know. What do you think?
I mean, I think, first of all, we should clarify. I think we both agree this has to do with Epic Universe.
I feel like with the promo, I mean, I'm looking at like promo materials next to me. It's like in that stars and, you know.
Yeah, all the Epic Universe logo stuff has had that star field in the background. So this is not a DreamWorks announcement.
Imagine.
Or Halloween Horror. Everyone wants Halloween Horror Nights. We're not going to get Halloween Horror Nights for a little bit, I think.
Because so what do you think?
I think that it is an Epic Universe announcement, but I think that just like we had a Celestial Park announcement, this will be an announcement for the next land. I don't think that we'll get that full final like opening date and tickets until a little closer to the summer, because I think they want to build the hype more. But I think we're going to get a land. I had thought we were going to get a Mario, a Super Nintendo World, detailed announcement back on Mario Day, and we didn't.
310, yeah.
So if we're not getting Mario, I think my guess, based on rumors and whispers, is How to Train Your Dragon. But we will find out in just a couple days. So
yes, it's interesting, because people do that come to Orlando maybe once a year. They plan super far in advance. Mm-hmm. So that's the only reason why it kind of went to like an on sale date or something, because Disney's already in that horse race early because they know what's coming next year. But I mean, of course, you can cancel your vacation packages at any time and say, well, if Epic Universe is opening, I want to go there instead.
Well, you know, I think a lot of people are looking at, you know, the aerial shots and seeing how far along everything looks like it is and expecting, this is going to open early spring. And I really think they're going to, you know, they did remove the summer from the, they just say it's sometime this year. Yeah, 2025. But I still think that it's going to be a little, the official opening day is going to be later than people expect, because I think there's going to be a long period of testing.
Absolutely.
Previews, employee previews, there's APs. Exactly. Mm-hmm. They're going to have that for a long time before we get an official opening date, because they're going to want everything to be thoroughly tested before.
Yes, I mean, the pressure is on. You know, we've talked about this, the first theme park to open in Orlando in over 20 years. Mm-hmm. The state, like global wise, all eyes are on them. So they really only have one chance to do it right. Yep. So like, I could see like 5 months of previews and all that and whatnot, mm-hmm. because they have such an amazing opportunity with this. So, I mean, it's going to be interesting. I love following along.
Yeah. Very exciting time. All right. So without any further ado, it is time for us to jump into the news in the queue. We are going to start out in Anaheim at Disneyland, where they have just announced that two new Princess and the Frog themed shops are coming to Critter Country, and in the process have kind of confirmed that Critter Country is definitely staying as Critter Country.
I mean, it makes sense. I mean, there's critters is the one of the main characters.
Exactly. They keep using in press releases talking critters. About all the characters we're going to see in the new ride, Critters. You know, there was question, since Princess and the Frog is set in New Orleans, does that mean that the former Splash Mountain is now part of New Orleans Square? But no, it's still Critter Country. Winnie the Pooh is still sticking around. If you want to experience the current Critter Country, you better do it real soon, because as of May 1st, that entire land is going to temporarily close down until the transformation of Tiana's Bio Adventure and the surrounding area is complete.
Yes, and I know when this was announced, a lot of people were, oh my God, what is going to happen to my favorite snack?
Tigger Tales.
So there, it's not my favorite snack, I will say. It's like, of the snacks at Disneyland, this pales in comparison to some other great ones, but I know a lot of people love them and they are very cute.
They are adorable. Those are the marshmallow sticks covered in orange sugar. Mm-hmm. And they will still be available at the Pooh's Corner, which will partially remain. Basically, what is now Pooh's Corner, the large Pooh gift shop, is going to be split in two. The half that's towards the exit of Tiana's Bio Adventure is going to be rethemed as Louie's Critter Club. And that's going to have apparel, accessories, decor, and more stuff with Tiana. The other side that has the treats is still going to be Pooh's Corner, still going to have those Tigger Tails. They also used to have these amazing pineapple spears dipped in chocolate. And chocolate, they occasionally have them seasonally, but they don't really have them much anymore. I miss those. And the other Princess and the Frog shop that is coming is Ray's Berets. That is currently called the Briar Patch. And that's going to have hats, clothes, toys, and more stuff like that. And it's themed after the Firefly Ray. I don't if this is a sequel. Is Ray still with us? I don't know. Is Ray get reincarnated? Did I miss that in the post credits? Because, or maybe this is like a memorial shop, like in his honor.
All right.
It's been a while since I've watched the movie. I just remember being really sad about Ray.
Yeah.
So this is all part of Tiana's Bio Adventure, of course, which is coming late 2024, presumably after we get the Magic Kingdom version opening sometime this summer. We've got lots of great coverage about the upcoming ride on our website and on our YouTube channel.
Yes, hopefully we'll know soon-ish. But we'll be riding Walt Disney World's first anyway, so.
For sure, yeah. Disney World's will definitely come first. In fact, just saw footage on social media of the first boat of Ride and Adjust testing. Folks in safety vests and ponchos taking the first dip. And yeah, the ride works. Still works.
Right. Still works.
Still works.
Can't wait.
Let's also talk while we are out in Disneyland about Season of the Force, which is the Star Wars celebration that returns April 5th through June 2nd to Disneyland Park. And it's got some new additions that I would love to experience. First and foremost, Hyperspace Mountain's coming back, of course.
So great.
I love that overlay. Great effects. And, you know, it's permanently Hyperspace Mountain in Hong Kong, but it doesn't look nearly as good in Hong Kong, even though it should be exactly the same. The Disneyland one just hits different.
Disneyland's Space Mountain is so good.
Absolutely. My favorite, other than the Paris version, which is totally different.
Totally different.
I think, Disneyland.
I think that's just because we have an affinity for that time period and style.
Sure. But even time period alone, like Disneyland Space Mountain just knocks Disney World's out of
right.
My back can't do Disney World much anymore. No. All right. So, but what I was really excited about is this Fire of the Rising Moons, which is the first time that they have had full on Star Wars music playing around inside Galaxy's Edge, not just in that little transition tunnel where you hear the 30 seconds of music that John Williams won an award for, but like real Star Wars score synced up to the Disneyland fireworks that are seen in the rest of the park.
Right. And so like for context, for those that aren't familiar, like this has been a favorite spot to watch them already for a lot of regulars and locals, because obviously you don't hear the soundtrack, but you can also like tune it up to like a YouTube video with the music if you want, but it does offer a perfect view if you just want to see the fireworks. So the fact that they're doing this feels like a response to guests. I don't know. I mean, I think it's wonderful.
Yeah, I think it's awesome. Personally, in my book, I've recommended bringing the original trilogy soundtrack on your digital device and listening to Yub Nub from the OG version of Return of the Jedi while the fireworks go off. I doubt they will use that song. But I'm sure it'll be really cool, especially the way that they are doing apparently three different versions synced to the three different fireworks shows that are happening over the summer.
Yeah, and if you want to get some jump scares, you wear Magic Band Plus and have some special effects.
wearing that around the park, around Animal Kingdom yesterday, I keep forgetting, you know, every time you walk past one of those statues and your arm starts vibrating, it's like, oh, wait, what was that?
It always happens when I'm by myself, so I look like an insane person.
All right, other things that are part of the celebration include new merchandise. They got some Star Tours jackets that look pretty spiffy. Of course, themed beverages and collectibles. The one that I just saw on social media is a collectible Jabba the Hutt. I think it's a popcorn bucket.
Yes,
bucket. With a little Salacious Crumb.
Just came out this morning, so...
Yep.
And also some highlights, they're bringing some cocktails from Galactic Star Cruiser to Oga's Cantina.
Oh, wow.
And that includes the collectible glassware, and it is really good collectible glassware. You have to look up in the foodie guide that just came out. There's also a Grogu macaron, like a little French macaron with the ears. It's adorable. So take a look at the foodie guide that just came out and was posted on Instagram, because there's some good stuff, but the collectible glassware from Star Cruiser is going to be...
Woo. Yeah, if you were not lucky enough to go on Star Cruiser, you can fool people into thinking you did.
Exactly.
They've also got some Season of the Force magic shots, holograms of the Mandalorian and Grogu available with PhotoPass lenses. You got to attend the Disney Channel night. They are doing a Disneyland After Dark Star Wars night. Select nights from April 16th through May 9th, but not on May the 4th.
No, that's very interesting. And I believe there's so many nights of the Star Wars night, there's still chunk that are still available.
Oh, really? Well, tickets start at $159 per guest. So if you want to be able to dress up in the park as an adult, which is something normally not allowed.
I will say at Disney Channel night, that was the best part, was about 99% of people were dressed up.
Wow.
And they started filing, you know, early with like the mix in. And uh-huh. I just hear every 3 seconds, Wildcats. And like everyone like salutes each other. So
wow.
I am not a huge Star Wars person, but I love the world. That is going to be some good people watching.
Beware of lightsabers. There are going to be a lot of lightsabers swung around. you know, this joins, of course, the Star Wars experiences that are available in the park throughout the year. Finally, we have to talk about Star Tours. In addition to Disneyland on April 5th, they are also going to be adding new recruits and a new planet to Star Tours destinations at both Disneyland and also in Walt Disney World. But I don't think they're doing it yet in Tokyo. I think
it was just Disneyland Paris that was also on that list.
Oh, but Disneyland Paris was the third location. Yeah.
So
we've got photos. Cassian Andor, Andor Cassian from the show Andor, Ahsoka Tano, Din Djarin, and Grogu will all be appearing in transmissions. Now this is interesting because we've got these photos that kind of show them like 3/4 body shots in different locations. Previously, all the transmissions that are in the ride are full body holograms. So I don't know if this is just a promo shot and doesn't really reflect what we'll see. Also, this is interesting. So initially they announced that the planet that we would be getting to visit was Peridia from Ahsoka, but they actually updated the blog post. It now says it's the planet Cetos. I think someone got their Star Wars planets mixed up initially.
It happens to the best of us. So.
It is almost impossible to keep up. Just to be clear, Cetos is, they're both from the end of the Ahsoka series that was recently on Disney Plus. Cetos, where we're going to be going, it was the cloudy planet with where all the space whales started out. And then they kind of rode the space whales to Peridia, which is the home planet of the Dark Sisters. I can't
something I don't know straight.
Anyway, so yes, we will be seeing space whales. That's the important part. Space
big
whales
news.
Yeah, space whales. It's about the space whales.
I mean, the bottom of the line is, if you're a Star Wars fan, this is your time to shine.
Yes, so these will be appearing kicking off on April 5th, but while the rest of the Season of the Force ends on June 2nd, those new segments for Star Tours will continue. What I am curious about is, right now, Star Tours, when you go and ride Star Tours, you either get segments randomized from episodes 1 through 6, which is the prequels in the original trilogy, or you get stuff from 7 through 9, the sequels. I'm curious how they're going to slot these in. Ahsoka and Mandalorian kind of take place, their series take place 5 years after Return of the Jedi, so it could go more with those. Or they could technically go with the sequels, because who knows, they could still be around 25 years later.
Right, exactly.
But
yeah, there's a lot they could do.
But Cassian, Andor, he doesn't make it to episode 4, spoiler alert. So if they have him showing up with the sequel trilogy, maybe he was part of a cloning experiment, maybe. As they said of Emperor Palpatine, somehow he's returned. Such great writing. Okay, moving on. Walt Disney World, not being left out of the fun, they are announcing a whole bunch of summer offerings. The first one we're going to talk about is a brand new drone show that's going to be soaring above Disney Springs, from May 24th through September 2nd. And you don't even have to pay to see this Disney show. It is going to be free for everyone to experience. The only thing you have to pay is having to choose whether to park in the orange or lime garage. Orange. It's always orange.
It's a personal choice that everyone has to make. No, but this is really exciting. A lot of people didn't know that there was a drone show.
Yes.
I loved it. I loved watching it from the back of the boathouse. So it is a long time coming. That was fabulous. It was called Starbright Holidays. If anyone remembers it, it was
way back in 2016. I can't believe that's been nearly a decade. Like that's crazy.
Yeah.
I think that original one was a partnership with maybe Intel. Disney, I assume by now Disney has developed their tech that they can do these drone shows in-house, or maybe they've partnered with one of the companies to do it. But we don't have a lot of details other that will showcase Disney stories that celebrate the joy of flight. So pretty sure Peter Pan's going to be in there somehow. Featuring state-of-the-art choreographed drones accompanied by music and memorable Disney quotes. Disney's kind of been on a drone roll everywhere but here. They've had this Disney Electrical Sky Parade in Paris, along with the Avengers Power of the Night drone show at the Paris Studios. It looks just amazing.
Yeah, I mean, the issue with Disney parks domestically is the land. I mean, you have to have all these drones, have to have the space. And the parks that we've seen in America that have done drone shows, like Holiday World, Dollywood, have the gift of lots of wide...
Wait. I thought Walt said we had the blessing of size. I mean, I get it at Disneyland. It's a little tricky.
At Disneyland, that is the problem.
But hey, you want to talk about space, though? Universal Hollywood is on the top of a mountain with like a golf course and neighbors on all sides. They still manage to do drones. Their Dark Arts of Hogwarts Castle show had drones. The only way you can see those drones, though, is in videos on our YouTube channel, because I'm hearing that show has been retired. I think they are developing a new show, which might also involve drones, who knows. But I think a new show is coming to Hogwarts Castle in both Orlando and California. Meantime, California did bring back the nighttime lights, but that one's just lights, no drones in that one.
Right. Yeah. This is like all we hear are drones now. I feel like
It'll be exciting. I mean, I'm excited to see it. I remember really liking that holiday show, and it will be great to see something back.
Absolutely.
So that's running this summer at Disney Springs. And then the other Disney parks also have some exciting summer announcements. Starting with Epcot, which is finally finishing off what used to be, it was once upon a time Communicore, and now it's going to be Communicore Hall and Communicore Plaza. Construction walls finally coming down around the new festival center, which will open on June 10th, 2024. And we're finally going to have an indoor air-conditioned location for festival events again.
Oh, and those were my favorite bathrooms over there, so I'm really happy to have that space back.
Yes, and it will also include the unveiling of a new Mickey Mouse meet and greet location, some more landscaping, and a mural. So finally putting the finishing touches on the real rebuilt of the center of Epcot.
Yeah, I just love the exterior of it. I mean, just from seeing them in the construction phases and now the final artwork rendering, it looks really cool.
And this area also has the Communicore Plaza stage, which is kind of like an indoor-outdoor sort of space. It looks like it's covered, but also open air. Yeah, it's hard to tell if this back wall is like a digital projection or if that's actual trees. So I'm not entirely certain on that. But we do know that it will be home to Celebración Encanto, a new sing-along featuring the songs and story of Encanto. So while we wait for that Encanto attraction, which may or may not be coming to Animal Kingdom, in the meantime, from June 10th through September 6th, we can at least celebrate the music with this live show.
Yes, you could see Bruno.
We don't talk about that.
We don't talk about him, but we will see him.
If you are over at Disney Hollywood Studios, we are bursting with joy over the arrival
of maybe it's
joy.
Anxiety.
Oh, yeah, maybe. I'm just angry. I'm just filled with disgust. The lineup of Pixar characters that you can meet over at Pixar Plaza in the studios is going to be increased by one when Joy starts doing meet and greets starting on June 10th, just in time for the June 14th premiere of Inside Out 2.
Yes, and Pixar Plaza has honestly become one of my favorite places in studios because it's so tucked away that there's like never anyone over there, and you could do a full photo shoot with the ball with Edna Mode, and I'm like, I never see a lot of people hanging around there.
Honestly, since they closed off that entrance, it used to be the entrance to Toy Story Mania way back in the day, and then you could walk through to the the studio tour, tram tour. And since they turned into a dead end, I honestly have never gone back there. I always wonderful. Just bypass it.
The Edna Mode meet and greet is in the coldest building I've ever experienced. The cold, like, I love a cold building. It is freezing cold in there. So I have so many like sweaty photo shoots with Edna because it's just so cold in there. So if you have a kid and you just need to cool down,
to chill out. That's the place
to
go.
Wonderful.
Finally, Animal Kingdom is going to be celebrating 30 years of The Lion King. Oh my gosh. I can literally remember seeing it on opening day when I was in college. 30 years. Wow.
Wild.
June 10th through September 6th. Join in the fun with a new merchandise collection, special menu items, and an adorable popcorn bucket shaped like Pumbaa. If you've always wanted to eat popcorn out of a warthog's behind, now is your chance.
There's some real interesting popcorn buckets coming out with the Jabba the Hutt mouth.
I know, they're going pretty extreme.
We're thriving.
You're going to get to do a relatively rare meet and greet with Timon and Rafiki over at Rafiki's Planet Watch. While you're at it, take in a viewing of Festival of the Lion King. I did that yesterday. First time I'd seen the Orlando version since I saw the Hong Kong version, and the Hong Kong version in terms of the scale of it is super impressive. Mm-hmm. But I forgot, you know, they've been doing basically the same blocking, the same script in Orlando now for like 25 years.
Yeah.
And they still go hard every show. I mean, those tumble monkey acrobats, those singers, those dancers, they still are performing every show like it's the first time that the audience has seen it.
Right. And like that cast has a particular pride, which is like not
pun intended.
They're very prideful of that position.
Pun intended. Awesome. Well, for more and to plan your Walt Disney World trip, just check out our friends at MEI and Mouse Fan. All right. Speaking of planning for Disney trips, if you are a Disney cruise fan, you're going to want to start thinking about your first trip on the next Disney Cruise Line ship, which will be called Disney Destiny. And it is going for a new heroes and villains theme featuring Hercules, Lion King, Dalmatians, and more epic tales from Disney, Pixar, and Marvel.
Yes. Notably absent is Star Wars, but...
I noticed that. No mention yet of Star Wars.
But, I mean, maybe that could be a separate announcement another time because the quote in there talks about, like, walking the line between good and evil, and it's, like, just such a Star Wars thing, obviously. So,
absolutely.
We'll see. Regardless, it's exciting because what if we have 101 Dalmatians bar? You know, like, this is wild.
Oh, like Cruella de Vil's lounge.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I can see that. Well, yes. This is the sister ship of the Disney Wish and the Disney Treasure. And it is going to, as we mentioned, have a heroes and villains theme featuring beloved Disney animation stories. as well as Marvel characters. And I love this kind of mashup between Disney and Marvel that's going to be featured in the Ship's Bows filigree artwork. It's Minnie, basically Minnie Mouse as Captain Marvel, striking a superhero pose with a cape flying through the air. So she's kind of the representative. Her image is on the coin that was put in the milestone keel-laying ceremony that took place in the German shipyard where these ships are built. And hard to believe this is scheduled to be completed already in 2025. I feel like we have these ships coming out one after another
It is crazy. So we just had the Wish, essentially. We have the Treasure coming up this year. This next year, and also Disney Adventure, which is the Asian ship. So it is, and then also their new island in the Bahamas. It's like, what a glow up in a short amount of time, especially considering for 20, they're 25 years now, and it took like a lot of years before the Wish, you know, they brought a new ship.
I mean, they started very slow.
Yeah.
They took a long time to make sure that they really, really got it right. But once they decide to expand, they have wasted no time.
Absolutely. But I mean, I guess they did it right. You know, they've built such a Disney Cruise Line. Fans are hardcore and very loyal. Mm-hmm. So I guess that's the way to do it, is have that slow build and build that brand loyalty and now go guns blazing.
So this is just kind of the first reveal of the theme, with not a lot of details about the exact features on this ship, but there is a really cool animated video that you can watch on YouTube, and our friends at MEI Travel will get you ready to go when they finally release details on how to book these.
Yes, very exciting.
All right. We are going to turn away from Disney for a second and instead head to Legoland California Resort, that just celebrated its 25th birthday by opening Dino Valley, a new area that features two rethemed rides, an old favorite, new costume characters, and a lot of kid-friendly dino-themed fun.
Yes, I love this. I mean, what kid doesn't love dinosaurs? You know, so it's like a very natural choice to go into this direction. And they had a lot of fun like activations. I think they had like the world's largest dinosaur party. Just kind of really crazy stuff leading into this.
Well, as always, Legoland goes big with their new lands. And this one features more than 30 Lego models, including a T-Rex that's 11 feet tall. And you can find him in the Explorer River Quest, which is a retheme of their former slow-moving scenic boat ride. It's basically like the Lego equivalent of Jurassic Park River Adventure without any drops. I obviously haven't been there in person. I did watch a POV video, and it's got really cute decoration, really these great Lego models that are made up of hundreds of thousands of actual Lego bricks. I wish there was a little bit more animation to some of the figures, but for the target audience, it's perfect.
Right. And it's like, honestly, everyone is the target audience, because I love Legoland. I love all the Legoland parks, because I just stare at everything and gawk, you know? So
yeah. In addition to that headliner ride, they've also got Duplo Little Dino Trail. And this is, they've taken what was a safari ride and turned it into a dinosaur safari. And kids get to hold these cameras and basically snap, shoot at the dinos as they pass by. I hope whoever is designing a Pokemon Snap ride for Universal, hopefully, is paying attention to this, because this is exactly what I would want to see in that. Mm-hmm. And then Coastersaurus has been around for a while, and it is still thrilling little ones, perfect starter roller coaster, the one they have in California is a steel model, as opposed to the wooden coaster that we have by the same name here in Florida. And of course, it wouldn't be a Lego expansion without an area where you can just play with bricks, tables full of bricks, and you can search for fossils in the Dino Dig area or play with Duplo. Lots of interactive activities to keep the kids occupied.
Yeah, great park for little ones.
And if you are staying at the Legoland Hotel or the Legoland Castle Hotel, you're going to get exclusive early morning access to the Dino Valley for an hour before its 10 a.m. opening to the general public. That's on days when the park is open past 6, or you'll get a half hour days it closes at 5. So head on over to legoland.com/California for more info. And check out the video we have on our YouTube yes. channel of that world record, yes. world's largest dinosaur costume Crazy. Party. All these people in those walk around, blow up T-Rex costumes. Love it. Love it. It's great. All right. Now for something completely different. The first Mattel Adventure Park is not yet open. It's scheduled Correct. To open later this year, but they have already announced plans for another one, Mattel Adventure Park Kansas City, coming to Bonner Springs, Kansas in 2026, which seems like it's right around the corner.
It is, but I will say a lot of it is clone attractions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Barbie Dream House, a lot of the Mattel stuff, a lot of it is clone attractions. Yeah. So maybe
it's like, you know, two for the price of one. You put the R&D into one and you just make two of everything. That's actually what Disney did when they built the original Haunted Mansion. Mm-hmm. In Disneyland, they built the one for Walt Disney World at the exact same time because it was cheaper that way. And maybe this was in the plans all along, but this will be the second theme park from Mattel and Epic Resort Destinations. And the lineup, as you mentioned, is just the same as the park that is coming to Glendale, Arizona, which we have talked before about. Two Hot Wheels themed roller coasters, a Barbie rooftop restaurant and bar on top of Barbie Beach House.
I keep saying Barbie Dream House too.
It's like burned in my brain, but it's the Barbie Beach House and a Barbie themed flying theater simulator, among other attractions. Personally, I'm all for the He-Man versus Skeletor laser tag inside.
Yes, that sounds really fun. Yeah,
that's what I'm looking forward to. But if you're more into Thomas the Tank Engine and friends, he will be there too. All the same attractions we've talked about before for the Arizona park coming to Kansas City sometime in 2026. So
absolutely. I mean, the middle of the country is where all these new parks are going. It's very cool. Very cool to see.
All right. And for the, I'm sorry. That is the last piece of news in our queue. So before we jump into our main attraction, it's now time to hear a word from our sponsors.
The Attractions Podcast is brought to you by MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. Whether your next vacation is a magical trip to the theme parks, an exciting adventure to the pyramids of Egypt, or just a relaxing cruise on the turquoise waters of the Bahamas, MEI Travel provides premium service and expert advice to help you get the most of your vacation. They are always free of any hidden fees or costs to you. Visit them at mei-travel.com.
It's time for the main attraction!
And for this week's main attraction, the details have been revealed for this year's D23 Ultimate Disney Fan Event in Anaheim, California. It is happening on August 9th through the 11th, and it is a packed event. And they have made some interesting changes to the way guests will experience it this year.
Yeah, so it is earlier than usual. Usually it's around like Labor Day weekend. Now it's in early August.
Which is smart because that is a slow time of year for the parks. Right. We've seen that summer used to be peak and then fall was slower because of school schedules. Now people don't want to go during the summer because it's really hot. And with Halloween, you know, events by Labor Day, the park is packed. So I think that's a smart move for them.
Absolutely. The interesting thing is we know this already, but for the first time ever, they're going to be doing three nights at the Honda Center. So
yes,
you're going to be taking a little shuttle from the Anaheim Convention Center for free, at least. We'll see how logistics work over to the Honda Center, which is close by.
Yeah. The good news is this means that if you have a ticket that includes the Honda Center, then you should not have to worry about standing in long lines to get into the panels. You should have a guaranteed seat. The bad news is that you'll have to carefully check which kind of ticket you are getting, because not all tickets are going to include access to the evening programming. So if that's important to you, the regular fan passes are not going to include by default the access to the Honda Center. That you will need one of the ultimate or preferred ultimate fan passes.
Yes, but I think also interesting is that the Honda Center does operate like many other venues around the United States with a no bag policy. So I don't know how this is going to work logistically. I'm hitting the Expo Center. I'm buying the newest blank. What am I going to do with my bag?
Will they be able to check your bags?
Right. I mean, a lot of times I go all day at these things without retiring because you want to kind of make the most out of all the money you're spending. So I don't know if you weren't staying right near the Anaheim Convention Center, like the Hilton or whatnot, that's going to be like a lot of lift fees if you want to like take a lift back to your hotel, drop your bag, come back, take the shuttle. So very interesting. But I mean, that bag policy is not going to be revoked because it's just, you know, that's a venue safety issue.
Sure, sure. Well, that is an interesting question that I'm sure be fascinating to see how they address that. Hopefully it will be worth the bag hassle, because they've got quite a lineup for those events at the Honda Center. As you mentioned, it's the first time they've done three nights of marquee events. First night on the 9th will be their entertainment showcase, which is going to be looks at the upcoming movies, TV shows, stage shows. August 10th is going to be Disney Experiences. So that's where we're going to see what's happening in the theme parks, the cruise ships and beyond. And then 11th is going to be the Disney Legends Ceremony. And wow, is this going to be a star-studded event?
Yes. The lineup is nuts.
Crazy.
Bananas. Crazy. I mean, it's...
And, you know, I got to say, all right, in case you don't know what a Disney Legend is, Disney Legends are, it's a tradition going back almost 40 years. Fred McMurray from The Shaggy Dog was actually the very first Disney legend back in 1987. But this honors artists and visionaries who have been associated with the Disney company and have made an impact on the company. And I'll be honest, a number of the people on this list are probably only Disney legends because of things that were purchased by the Disney company after the fact, and we're not actually necessarily working with or for Disney at the time they did the things that they're being honored for. However, because of corporate synergy, these are all Disney legends, darn it. And if
I mean, regardless, they're A-list.
If it's an excuse to get these people on a stage together, I mean,
these are the kind of names I need if I'm going to be dropping thousands of dollars.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So let's run through the list, alphabetically speaking, starting with costume designer Colleen Atwood, who is basically Tim Burton's right-hand man, right-hand woman, on winning an Oscar for Alice in Wonderland, and she's working on Beetlejuice, Edward Scissorhands, you name it, legend. Angela Bassett, screen actress, everything from Boys in the Hood to Black Panther, Wakanda Forever. This one is really cool. Martha Blanding, who was the first Black tour guide to work permanently at Disneyland, a long, long time cast member, 50 years with the resort. Filmmaker James L. Brooks, who you might know for producing The Simpsons, and Mary Tyler Moore Show and other amazing TV shows. James Cameron, director of Avatar,
Titanic,
Terminator, True Lies. Speaking of True Lies, Jamie Lee Curtis, who, of course, her Disney connection is the film Freaky Friday. I doubt that they're honoring her for Halloween. Miley Cyrus, who came to fame as Hannah Montana. Excited to see them honoring Steve Ditko, who not as famous a name as Stan Lee, but he was the co-creator of a lot of really important Marvel characters. Harrison Ford, Indiana Jones, Han Solo. Yeah. Disney animator Mark Henn, who started on Mickey's Christmas Carol.
I love that because that's such a classic for, you know, Disney fans.
Yep, and worked all the way, you know, through Moana, Big Hero 6, you name it. Frank Oz, Miss Piggy, Yoda, the Muppets, a true legend.
Yes.
Kelly Ripa, from TV talk show fame. Joe Rohde, the legendary Imagineer behind Animal Kingdom and many other projects. And last but certainly not least, iconic film composer John Williams, the sound behind everything from Star Wars and Indiana Jones to Schindler's List. So
right. I mean, he's like the soundtrack of our lives as Disney fans.
So this is truly like they always have a good lineup for these legend panels, but I think this has got to be the most stacked A-list grouping that they've ever had. I really hope that this is broadcast on the internet for all of those who cannot attend. You know, they've simulcast some of this stuff in the past, but some of these really big ticket items, they don't. So maybe someone can sneak in a camera. I don't know. If everyone tries live streaming at the same time, it's going to crash the internet.
Deal with going to the Honda Center during this. I mean, like,
yeah, I, well, you know,
like a lot.
Yeah, I will be honest, like after the last D23 event that I attended in person, I kind of felt like I was going to stick with the YouTube streams because I could see better. I could hear better. I can't afford the top dollar to have a seat down front.
Right.
You know, I would be sitting in the nosebleeds 400 section way in the back of the bowl. I kind of feel like I get a better view watching it at home on the internet.
Right. And I will say, I still feel like the energy and excitement watching it from home attending without the hassle. So
So the those big evening presentations though at the Honda Center are just the cherry on the cake at the end of the evening. They've also got daytime events going on inside the convention center. They've got flipping back over to the other screen.
Pixar, Walt Disney Studios, Disney Plus, Lucasfilm. But what I am excited about is a brand new first of its kind exhibit from Walt Disney Archives, which is called A Great Big Beautiful Car Show.
Yes. So I am assuming that they're going to be pulling vintage vehicles. Maybe picture cars from Disney films or cars related to Disney history letting us get a look at them. They'll pull up props or costumes or maybe an animatronic or two. But cars, that's something different.
Yeah, no, I love the logo they designed for it. It's so like 1964 World's Fair.
Absolutely.
So I'm like, you pulled me in.
Absolutely. You're also going to be able to shop, of course. Get ready to hold all those bags full of stuff that you get at Mickey's of Glendale, the Hollywood Studio Store, and the Emporium with exclusive D23 branded products. And of course, there's going to be shows, panels, presentations, Q&As, and all the details of those are going to be released later. But we do know that August 4th is going to be the first ever D23 day at Angel Stadium. So if you're a baseball fan, you and the first 23,000 other people coming through the gates will get a commemorative one-of-a-kind, or at least 23,000 of a kind, D23 Mickey Mouse bobblehead.
Hey, I'd go just for that, but then I'd leave.
Yep.
I just want the merch.
Another day that you're going to want to be aware of, whether you are attending D23 or not, August 8th, mark it on your calendar, because it is the first ever D23 day at the Disneyland Resort. There's going to be a custom cavalcade, a dance party, music celebration at DCA, and photo opportunities. So if you are excited to celebrate D23, you want to be there on that day. If you want to have nothing to do with that, be aware that will probably be a busy day in the park. Might be one to avoid.
And just based on this logo that they designed for it, I want the themed merchandise.
D23 ticket information. Here we go. Yeah. If you want to be able to both go during the daytime to the Anaheim Convention Center and have a reserved seat for the Honda Center, you're looking at a starting ticket of $99 for one day, or $297 for 3 days. If you want to sit down on the floor level, a three-day ticket's going to start at $1,000, and you're going to need to be a gold level member of D23 just to be able to purchase that.
Yes, it's a little confusing because the way they've named it is, like, if you just want the convention, it's called a fan pass, but when they add ultimate to it, that includes the nighttime. So I was like, I hate when they do things like that, because it really, I think people are going to be upset when they realize they don't have,
You've got your fan pass, your ultimate fan pass, and your preferred ultimate fan pass. Say that 10 times fast. Yes, if you just buy the fan pass, which is the bottom level, if you're a general D23 member, that's going to cost you $89. Save $10 if you're a D23 gold member for a one-day pass. But honestly, you're only saving 10 or 20 bucks, and you're missing out on the Honda Center. I'd think if you're going that far, it's worth paying an extra 10 or 20 bucks to get to the Honda Center.
Some people may not want to go. You know,
that's
what
true.
I mean?
That's true. So it's nice to have the option.
Because I'm thinking when the events end at the Honda Center at night, how long is it going to take for you to get back? It
might be get out of there. Walk. Yes.
So if you just want to go on the floor and see all the things, but again, the price difference is like really minimal between that. So I get it.
Yeah. A 3 day fan pass starts at $259 for general members or $209 for gold members. If you want to attend, you're going to want to jump on tickets as soon as they become available, because they are limited in quantity. March 26th, which is the day after we are recording this, noon Pacific time, is the kickoff for D23 gold members who want to buy one-day or three-day tickets. D23 general members who have Visa cards, Disney Visa cards, they have a pre-sale starting on March 27th. And the rest of D23 Golden General members have their sale go on March 28th. You have to be a D23 member of some level in order to purchase tickets, but the basic membership is free. You just got to go to d23.com and sign up.
Yes, it's very a little confusing. So
yes, absolutely, 100%. Yeah, look at it now. And it's, you know, might be worth it if you participate and enter the Ultimate Disney Sweepstakes. They've got some fantastic prizes, including a trip on the maiden voyage of that Disney treasure, the upcoming Disney Cruise Line ship.
Absolutely.
Sweepstakes runs July 8th through August 11th, and you actually don't have to purchase to win. Just head on over to d23.com.
Yes, I will say I do splurge on the gold membership each year. I love the magazine, but really the special events that they have for D23 gold members, like I got to go to the animation backlot and it was only $99.
Yeah.
I mean, that was worth the membership alone.
The year that I was a gold member, I did the studio tour and 100% worth it. Honestly, I vacillate because I find that I get the magazines and they sit there piling up because I never get around to reading them.
Oh, I love them.
So they're very well done. They're very slick. Mm-hmm. They've got great photography. I just have such a pile of reading material next to my bed. It's like a mountain. Okay. I basically join or not based on how cool I think the bonus box that you get for membership is. Years I really loved, they had a retro box a few years back that I loved.
With the flag. Yes.
Yeah. That one I had to get.
Yeah, it's really good sometimes.
All right. Well, oh my gosh. We hit this in just about an hour, which is amazing. I thought we would be here forever.
I mean, we had some meaty ones, so
yeah, we had a lot of stuff to talk about, but we got through it and it was so great getting to see you.
Yay.
Again, it has been too long. What do you say we do it again next week?
Woo! I'm ready.
before we go though, let us check in and see if we had any comments in the queue. And boy, it looks like we had quite a few comments in the queue. Michael Bingham's looking forward to that drone show. Eric O is amazed that he is as old as Legoland, California. Yeah, oh, Eric, you're getting old, just like the rest of us. Vince Lam, yes, I know it was another long news in the queue. He got back from class before the main attraction, and thank you for appreciating my Monty Python reference. He's going to go ahead and buy the
crazy Eric.
Enjoy. Noel Gonzalez checking in. He thinks that Kevin Feige is going to announce at D23 Expo the Marvel Phase 6, Fantastic Four, Blade, a whole bunch of things. All right, your lips to Kevin's ears, Noel. Hope that happens for you. Entertainer 1987 wants to know why Tom Hanks has not been honored as a Disney legend yet. I do not know. I don't have any insight. Is that true? He's not a Disney legend? I think maybe it's if they can ever get him and Tom Hanks. Yeah, Andrew Brady also think. Apparently, Tom Hanks has a lot of friends. Fans out there who want him to be a Disney legend. So I don't know, start a change.org petition. Maybe it'll happen. Vince Lamb wants to know if we're going to see a Hupmobile at the Crappy.
Maybe.
Neighbor's Hupmobile. That's a Carousel of Progress reference, right? Michael Bingham's also excited that D23 will be at the Honda Center and says, go Ducks also. and he thinks that Angel Stadium is really cool, even though he's not an Angels fan. All right. Well, that about brings us to the end of another show. Before we go, we want to thank, as always, our sponsors, MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. And we want to ask you to please hit like, hit subscribe, and please give us a rating and review over at Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever else you listen to us. Also, please follow us at attractionsmagazine.com and search for Attractions Magazine on your favorite social media platform. Speaking of which, Carly, where can folks find you on the socials?
Yes, I am on Instagram at Adventures by Carly and on X at Carly Caramon.
And you can find me, as always, at S. Kubersky or at The Unofficial Guides. And you can find my books at theunofficialguides.com. And until next week, we hope you folks stay safe, try something new, and most importantly, have fun. See you next time. Bye.
Bye.